This is the Packer and Durham Podcast, Hour 3.
Appreciate Wyatt Wilk stopping by.
That was fun.
Again, the Florida State kids have been really good.
Post-Roman Empire Renaissance.
I was hoping he was going to give me like a general or something that could have tied in with his team, but he'll work on that. We'll get back to Wyatt on that one.
Not sure about that post-Roman Empire class.
You know, probably didn't have those at Elon, did we?
Oh, we did.
We just didn't take them.
I tried to avoid those when it came to the history minor.
More concentrate on the math part.
No, as readily evident by my performances here,
that's all right.
That was not a strong suit either.
Jarius Hamilton is going to join us from Boston College in about half an hour.
He's a Charlotte kid, by the way.
That's right.
Yeah, looking forward to talking to him. So.
All right, hour number one, Billy Packer stopped by. We obviously led off the show with the unfortunate passing of Gene Corrigan, the third commissioner of the Atlantic Coast Conference, who passed away at the age of 91, one of the nicest people you'd ever want to meet and one of the smartest. As I mentioned earlier, I tell you, I've always kind of thought of the Corrigans as the first family of the ACC. Mm-hmm. And so we had Billy Packer stop by via the phone. He'll eventually get in the basement. We got something planned for Billy in the basement.
Yep.
But not now. So Billy called in, and we asked him point blank, when I say Gene Corrigan, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Very special person. It's really kind of interesting. My first association with, I call him Coach Corrigan, because he and Bones McKinney were very close. And they had a thing called Camp Wahoo up in Virginia. And this is back in the old days when basically coaches made no money, but they liked to assemble together and have a good time. And Camp Wahoo became a place for the Corrigans and the McKinneys and the McCanns and various people to bring all their family and have a basketball camp. I don't know if they made any money, but they had great times together. And Bones was a very good judge of people. And at that time, and I think Gene, although he was involved with lacrosse, I think he was maybe an assistant basketball coach at Virginia at the same time. You got to remember, back in those days, like a head basketball coach in the ACC made $8,000 a year. So none of these guys were in the game because they were involved with big incomes. As a matter of fact, I remember my first game at Virginia, and Corrigan and Bones were kidding, and Billy McCann kidding about everything, and we were one of the top teams in the league, and they were down at the bottom, and yet they had this great relationship, and it was really kind of funny, and I always kidded Coach Corrigan about this. We thought we'd just blow them out, and with about a minute to go in the game, we had a one-point lead. Virginia has the ball out of bounds, and they have a kid by the name of Atkins, who's a great player, and they call timeout. So George Ritchie and I know the ball's going to go to Atkins, and we're going to double-team him, and we go out on the court, and I've got my man, and George has got Atkins, and we're ready to double-team, and I turn around, and I see a guy's been put into the game, and he's got an eye patch over his right eye. He'd never been in the game at that point, so I always kidded Corrigan that he's the one that put him in. And the ball went to that guy, and he ended up shooting a left-handed hook shot with a patch on his right eye, and we got out of there with 1 point. So I think it was good that he didn't stay on in the basketball. But but obviously what he did from that point on rivals anything that happened in intercollegiate athletics in regard to leadership. I put he and Dave Gavitt are the two guys that I respected more than anybody that I've ever met on the management side of intercollegiate sports. Both were brilliant. Both were incredible in meetings, in the fact that they spoke very little. They listened. It always seemed like they agreed to every position. But after years of watching both of those guys in action, they were kind of assembling where the votes were. And they knew how to push it at the last minute in a direction that maybe they wanted from the very beginning. And I think that Dave and Gene were two of the best that I've ever seen at that, and two of the great, in my estimation, legendary characters of what intercollegiate athletics have become from what they were in those early days.
Billy, when you think about Corrigan, and you put it in the perspective of bringing Florida State into the league, and everybody looked at that as a football move. He knew at the time, though, how big a ticket basketball was for the ACC. But you mentioned foresight and vision. He also understood what football's impact was potentially going to be. and knew it was important to, once Jim Delaney put got Penn State into the Big Ten, he knew the ACC had to make a move, right?
Absolutely. I'll tell you a funny story about an association I had with him when he was at Notre Dame. Jefferson Pilot, Mike Berg, and Ed Hall came to me, and they wanted to find a new product that they could televise. And so I came up with an idea of starting a new basketball conference. And so I went to the Independents, and I had DePaul, Marquette, Dayton, St. Louis, Louisville, Cincinnati, and Memphis, seven schools. And I brought them all together individually, and then we had some meetings in Chicago, and they all said, well, we need Notre Dame. And particularly Dayton wanted Notre Dame in, and I said, no, I want an allegiance from you seven guys. I said, we need to have a pact here. I'll go to see Gene Corrigan at Notre Dame, and I'll invite him to be the eighth team in the conference. I said, I have all the leverage now. If you guys will agree not to play Notre Dame in any non-revenue sports and not in basketball, we'll let them come into the league. And they can do whatever they want in football, because none of you guys to speak of are powers in football. But he'll be forced to come into this league if you guys will agree not to schedule him. So that was the plan. So I go over to South Bend, and here I'm going to meet. By this time, Gene and I had a very good relationship. So I've got him. I've got his back right to the wall. And so I explained to him how we're starting this league. We'd like him to come in, and if you don't come in, you're not going to have teams to schedule in basketball. And he needed those teams in basketball. And I'm really hammering him. And he's sitting there, and he's looking at me, and isn't responding. And I'm figuring he's got to go for this. And finally, he looks at me and said, Billy, he said, I think you've got a very good idea, but at this point in time, I don't think Notre Dame is interested. And so I couldn't believe him. He's got to be crazy. Well, about a week or so later, he leaves Notre Dame, becomes the commissioner of the Atlantic Coast Conference. I thought I was holding all the cards, and he, in his very gentle and very polite way, didn't tell me to get the hell out of the office, because he had other plans of what he was doing. If you want Notre Dame, come back and see him in a month or so. But that's just the way he was. He never kind of raised his voice, and yet there was always great strength behind the person.
I will never forget Gene Corrigan sitting courtside.
Bob Knight.
With Bobby Knight leaning over him, about ready to slam his fist on the table and the telephone going crazy. And, you know, Gene, as he typically would be, as you said, Billy, would just sit there, take everything in.
Yeah.
Wouldn't raise his voice. He would never seem mad at anybody. And Knight was going crazy like he could do at any point in time. And, of course, we know how that game ended up going, but, Gene Corrigan sat there as businesslike as you possibly could. Again, always respectful of the other person. Always.
Yeah, I had a front row seat to that one, because I was broadcasting that game with LSU. And, any other person that would, you got to remember, when you were on the NCAA tournament committee in those days, you had incredibly great power. And those were the early days when the committee really started to take the NCAA basketball tournament and turn it from something that generated some money, but became a huge windfall for the NCAA, to the point now where it represents about 90% of the NCAA's total gross income. But, I can remember that. Bobby was having a hard time. LSU, to be quite honest with you, I thought had better personnel. And Bobby didn't like the game, the way the game was refereed. And you know, although he's a good friend of mine, there are times in his life, and that certainly was one of them, when he would go off the deep end. And had it been any other, I think any other committee member other than Gene Corrigan, they would have had him thrown out of the ball game right on the spot. Gene sat there and as if he was just at a Sunday picnic or something like that, and he handled it so well. As a matter of fact, after the game, and as you know, Indiana won, and Bobby, being as he is, at that point, they said, well, Bobby, when did you know you turned the game around? He said, well, during a timeout, I looked and I saw that the guy on the other sideline was Dale Brown, and I knew we'd win. So, you know, I mean, he went from absolute rage to being a wise guy, as sometimes he could be. But Gene not only handled the moment unbelievably well, but also the way that was handled thereafter with the press. Just an incredible person.
That's Billy Packer from earlier today on the show, at least a portion of the Billy Packer segment to lead things off, looking back at the late, great Gene Corrigan.
I think the thing as it relates to ACC fans of today's era, 2020, will be the fact that he was the commissioner who made the decision on Florida State.
While there were some members of this league that were against it, that was not a layup.
Did not want Florida State. It was not a layup. And yet he used great diplomacy in getting that done. The timeline with Jim Delaney getting Penn State to the Big Ten, and then the ACC, as we said, one football national championship from 1953 to, 1983? They'd won one.
Clemson.
Yeah. And so the ACC had to do something. And this is the other part to remember about that landscape. The basketball television package that Castleman D. Chesley and all the things that it became with Rick and D. Ray and all those things. And that money was significant. It was the highest paid conference basketball rights fee in the country at the time. Now, is it comparative today? No. But the ACC knew that if they added Florida State, they would have a chance financially to go next level with their football package. And they did. He also laid the groundwork, by the way, for the very first contract with ESPN. And we mentioned the late Tom Mickle, who later ran the Florida Citrus Bowl and was also a visionary when it came to just postseason football, right, Pac? I
mean, and very similar demeanor as Gene.
Yeah.
It was very
ironic, right?
Duke bound, very smart, listened.
Yeah.
Didn't ever raise his voice at you. And in fact, I never saw him mad, ever. Yeah. Either one of them, to be honest with you. God rest their souls. But we've been very fortunate in this league from a leadership standpoint of really smart people. I don't care if you're running a conference, gas station, whatever the case may be. I say this all the time. It starts at the top. If you're weak at the top, you're bound to fail. But when you've got great leadership and surround yourself with really good people, you can do great things. And we've experienced that, especially with Gene Corrigan.
The league has been very fortunate in its leadership legacies. Jim Weaver was the former athletics director at Wake Forest. Then you have Bob James, who had been a commissioner, but had played football at Maryland. And was a guy who came back to this league and did a really good job of kind of calming the waters, if you will. There were still some turbulences about integration and all the things that had happened when Jim Weaver. But the ACC had gotten to a point. And Bob James was the first to move this basketball tournament. Bob James wanted to see the ACC tournament outside the state of North Carolina, just to see. And boy, went to Capitol Center in Washington in 1976.
People weren't happy about that either now.
But Bob James And of course, and I touched on this at the top, and I know where you are with this. We're fortunate. You're right in calling them the first family. Our families have been friends with the Corrigans for years. Boo and Tim are guys we know pretty well. Kevin is the lacrosse coach at Notre Dame. Kathleen, Louise. I mean, they're just a marvelous, marvelous family. Just a really, really fine family.
Yep. Again, our thoughts and prayers to Lena. The seven children, as I mentioned, 19 grandkids and five great grandkids. And again, you'll be able to hear the entire Billy Packer interview on our Packer and Durham podcast. And we'll also take your phone calls at 844-SAY-ACCN.
All right. We'll do all that and more. Come back. Mike Bray has been issued a public reprimand by the ACC. Yeah, he was trying to officiate a little bit the other night. We'll touch on that. We'll get to some other basketball news. As we work into a Monday night showdown over at PNC Arena in Raleigh, we'll do all that when Packer and Durham continues with your phone calls on ACC Network, Sirius XM 371, and the ESPN app.
Packer and Durham.
Back in the basement on a Monday, Packer and Durham, 844-SAY-ACCN is the number. By the way, one just quick note before we move on to other things.
Sure.
I know we spent a lot of time on Gene Corrigan, and rightfully so, given what he did to the league. Les Jones was an administrator at Clemson when I was in school there. He also passed away this week.
I saw that.
I want to give a thought and prayers out to Les's family and friends down there in Clemson. He was there for 100 years, it seemed like, and just a great guy, laid back, chill. Was really involved in a number of the massive football administration, Death Valley, Upper Decks, amongst other things, but was a great, great guy. And I saw that yesterday, that he had passed away this weekend. So our thoughts and prayers to Les Jones and his family and friends.
He date back to Bill McClellan, right?
Yeah, late 70s. Right. And he was there, I think, for about 35 years, something like that. Yeah. So, that's where I got to know him when I was in school there. And we'd be out there hitting golf balls. He'd come out there and be, hey, you boys, you golfers, y'all don't know where you're hitting it. We didn't have a range, man. We're just hitting it in the Ibrahim soccer range and all that stuff. And he was such a great guy. So I'm very sorry to hear that he had passed away this weekend.
Basketball news, about 30 minutes ago or so, the ACC issued an official public reprimand to Mike Bray and an institutional fine to Notre Dame for violating the ACC sportsmanship policy. And you say, well, how did all that happen? Well, it happened Saturday night in Tallahassee after the Irish lost by one to Florida State. And Coach Bray went to the podium, and, well, this is kind of how this happens right here.
Turn get fouled on that last one? And that steal? You get fouled on that? How about the walk on Pfluger at half court? Sometimes we're treated by the officials like we haven't brought football as a full member, but yet we get a full share of the ACC network TV. Are you kidding me? He tees up our bench from across the court because he's pissed off at us? I'm frustrated, man. And I tip it a cap to Florida State. They make great plays. I love Leonard. He's a good friend. And they're a great team. You got to be kidding me, man. Come on, man. We're in the league, too. We're in the league, too, now. Come on.
Yeah, you're in the league, and you owe us $20,000. We love Bray, man. You know, he's just frustrated, man. He wants to win one of these close games. His kids work their tails off to come back. What are you looking at me for? Like I'm crazy. I think Notre Dame can handle it. I'll say this for the 4 trillionth time doing either a radio show or a television show.
Yeah, you're in the league and you owe us 20K.
You owe us 20K. There's not a single official on the planet Earth that wants to get a call wrong.
Correct.
And sometimes fans have a hard time getting that under wraps. They're not trying to get it wrong. It's a tough gig, man. Whether we're talking about football, basketball, even wrestling. I was watching wrestling Friday night. The duels. Man, people think, oh, what is that guy doing? Hey, it's tough, man. These are great athletes. So, hey, you just got to make more shots, man. You know what? Refs are going to miss calls. Guess what? Coaches are going to make bad calls, too. Players are going to make mistakes. It's just part of it. I understand his frustration, but he'll be all right.
Every coach in this league, and we've run through the accounting. We've shown you the glob. We're going to talk about the glob again in a moment. I mean, it's every game is one possession. You rolled off this first half woodshed stuff.
All six.
And only one of those games got out of control.
Yeah, North Carolina. It was a kind of a cruise control.
The rest of them all came.
Louisville. Louisville and North Carolina got big leads and cruise. Everybody else was like, hey, man, it may be a double-digit lead, but it doesn't mean anything. Go play.
And guess what? Not halfway through.
No, it's just, and it's only going to get better because the intensity and the pressure to have 2-0 weeks becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. And Wes, that's why I go back to the three best teams in the league right now, Florida State, Louisville, and Duke. This week, 5 of their 6 games are on the road.
Right.
Keep an eye on this. This could be a really interesting scenario. And we talk about the glob for the first time in a long time. We're going to talk about the top three. And who does the best job navigating through what will be an interesting week? I mean, Florida State's playing lights out. They've won 10 in a row. Well, guess what? They get to go to Virginia and to Virginia Tech. Play hard.
To that effect, can we roll the glob up here for a second? Because the glob is just that. I mean, you start looking at Syracuse 6-3, and they're the 4s and the 5s, and then, you know, Georgia Tech at the back with 6 losses. I mean,
for example, a team like Boston College, and we're going to talk with Jarius Hamilton coming up. Wes, they're sitting there at 4-5. They got Louisville coming to their place this week.
Yeah.
And I know Louisville put on a nice show at home against Clemson, and they, you know, got by Georgia Tech, sure, which was a fight. You got to take it on the road. The folks in Boston will be excited to see Louisville. And the Cardinals, as terrific as they've been, they've only lost one conference game. They get NC State at the end of the week. You think it's a big week for NC State?
Yeah.
You're coming off a disappointing game, losing at Georgia Tech, where you thought things were...
You won at Virginia, so you're feeling good, and then you go to Atlanta, and bang. And
now you get North Carolina, who's had your number. Roy Williams doesn't lose very often. Doesn't like losing that team in red and white. You get the pack in the heels tonight, and then you got Louisville later on this week. The weeks become very intriguing, those can-you-go-2-0 routines. It's going to be fun, man.
By the way, NC State fans, I fully expect about 4 o'clock it'll be announced that Cole Anthony's going to play. Because that's what you're thinking, isn't it? You know you are. You know you're thinking at 4 o'clock it's going to come down.
If I was NC State, I'd be worrying about, hey, can we get C.J. Bryce off the schneid? I mean, you get him back and you're thinking, hey, this is the missing piece,
Am
right?
I poking the bear there, by the
you
way?
You just did. I'm trying to help you, whether you know it or not. I'm trying to get you off that topic.
Why?
Because if you're NC State, you're not worried about Cole Anthony. You're worried about, can I get C.J. Bryce giving me 15 to 20 tonight? He gave me nothing against Georgia
Tech. But NC State fans that have called us and interacted with us are thinking, that Cole Anthony's going
to
play.
Refs out to get us.
Anthony's going to play.
I don't want to hear conspiracy
Marcus
theories.
Page and Kendall Marshall used to come over here and cause problems, and now here comes Cole Anthony, who hadn't played since November.
No. I think this is a really important game for NC State. For North Carolina, hey, you finally won the first one of the decade. You got Roy 890. Life's good. You know, all that stuff. Or 880, whatever the number, 880.
Right.
So you're just looking to say, hey, we're going to take that as a positive. We shot 58%. We made shots. We scored 94. Got some momentum. Feeling good about it. And if you're NC State, I'm just telling you, man, this is a big hold serve game for NC State.
Let me ask you a question here. You talk about Carolina tonight and Louisville on Saturday. Do you know what's behind that?
I only look
3 roadies at Miami, at Syracuse, at Boston College. And then when they come home.
Yeah, but you got to worry about tonight.
I understand.
And this week. You
can't focus on your team and your game, right?
You got it.
But here's the thing. NC State has built this 5-4 through the first 9 of 20, right? That we're talking about.
And by the way, 2 of their 4 are Georgia Tech.
Correct. Now, the second half of this, you get Syracuse on the road.
Tough.
At BC, Duke at home. Florida State at home at Carolina.
I mean, nothing's
easy. Their next 7 games are as hard as anybody in the league.
Wes, when you're in the glob, nothing's easy.
I hear you.
Right?
Yeah.
The only thing in the glob that's easy right now is that Syracuse has won 5 straight. And they get Duke this weekend.
But they're Clemson tomorrow night.
Don't look ahead.
Tigers.
You think we can get a Denny's for Coach Boeheim when he's down there? No? You'd rather pay a $20,000 fine? Is that what you're telling me?
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe you're doing this. All right, Jarius Hamilton from Charlotte had a big hand in the BC win over Virginia Tech on Saturday's
game. Hamilton brothers were lighting it up, man. Yeah. They were good.
It's good to see Jared back on the floor. He had missed Sunday night in Winston-Salem.
Right.
So we get Jarius. Tell you what, we're going to talk to Jarius about playing through injuries. Look at this. Catch and shoot. This is the younger of the Hamilton brothers, by the way.
I'm going to ask him if he's ever been to Price's Chicken Coop.
Of course you are.
Of course.
You want to talk about free throws, too?
That, too.
All right. Stay tuned. Jarius Hamilton joins Packer and Durham next on ACC Network, Sirius XM 371.
Packer and Durham.
Yeah, it is.
844-SAY-ACCN is your phone number for the program. Again, many thanks to Billy Packer, Wyatt Wilkes, and now we go north to Boston, where the BC Eagles, fresh off their big win against Virginia Tech, Jarius Hamilton joins us. Jarius, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're good, man. First of all, congratulations, but holy mackerel, you guys are making me nervous trying to make some free throws down the stretch. What was going on there?
We all were just excited and just really wanted to make sure that we got the win, Couple of us then knocked down free throws at the end, but at the end, all matters that we got the W. We knocked them down when it really mattered.
All right, now here's the deal, though: 11 of 27. I mean, you're winning the game, and yet the line is like this piece of kryptonite laying in the middle of the floor. I mean, I even saw your man Jay Heath is like a foot and a half behind the line. He doesn't even want to get close to it when he shoots. So what? I mean. Are you tired of people talking about it? Because I'm tired of talking about it, and I feel for you on this.
Yeah, I mean, it was tough, you know, and it's definitely not a team that we are. You know, we practice free throws every single game, every single practice, you know, and we make sure that we're ready, you know, in the game to knock them down when it really matters. And I guess, you know, we just didn't have the luck of the ball rolling in on our side, but, you know, we wanted to make sure we got it at the end.
Hey, I want to tell you now, this little cut you had above your right eye is healed up nice. Last week when I had you guys against Wake Forest, you looked like you'd gone three rounds of sparring with somebody. What happened there?
Practice, you know, we was out there just competing hard, you know, and just going over drills and stuff. And we were playing a little bit, and then loose ball, and me and one of our teammates just ran and collided heads. And luckily, I got the worst of it. So, I mean, but I'm recovering from it now. I can see a whole lot better out of this right eye. So, everything's going good.
You know, the win had to feel good. I mean, you had to lose four straight. You knocked off Virginia, and you figured, hey, we turned the corner a little bit, and then it gets going sideways. I suspect sleeping was a little bit better. The meal next day was a little bit better. Practice felt a little bit easier over the weekend and so forth. When you go through one of these spells, explain to the fans how this thing can kind of build up, especially in a league like this where you really never get a chance to get a break.
Yeah, I mean, it's just definitely tough, you know, because, you know, every couple games you got another big-time team coming through, or there's another big-time team you got to go compete against, you know. And, you know, they're coming out ready, trying to get a win, just like we are. So, you know, we just had to keep our head up, you know, not keep our heads down after taking the losses, and just figure out a way to try to get a W.
It's also one of those things, Jerry's, too, where it seems like it's more than just the ball going in, right? I mean, there's a whole mentality. When you start winning, it comes in so many different shapes. And for you guys, it's been different, though, because there have been injuries. There's been – I mean, even Coach Christian's hurt. I mean, so there's a scenario there where, you know, you guys are – you got a roster change almost every week, right?
Yeah. It's really tough, you know, because we don't really know who we're coming in with when the game's about to start, you know, because – practice before, or a couple of days before, somebody might get hurt and we might be down a man. It'll be like, but like we really needed him. But, you know, we just got to go up with that next man up mentality and figure out a way to get a W.
Well, you get the W against Virginia Tech. As I mentioned, you're feeling good about life. But here comes Louisville. And I'm sure you've probably watched enough tape. You've seen these guys enough.
Mm-hmm.
This is a really, really talented team coming to your house.
Yeah, no, they're a really good team. I think they're somewhere up there in the top five right now. Like they've been up there all season, and they've been playing really well. They're a really deep roster. You know, we just got to go out there with a mindset to compete and just play a hard 40 minutes against them.
Hey, I want to ask you about playing with your brother. Jared had transferred to BC, started playing later in the year a season ago. Now you guys are on the floor together a lot more than you were a year ago, seemingly.
Mm-hmm.
What's that been like? Has that been as fun as I think it's been for you guys?
This has been amazing. You know, we've never had the opportunity to play on a actual structured team together before. You know, only been playing on pickups and stuff like that. But just the opportunity to play with him, and, you know, he's just such a hard worker, all the things he's been through and all the things he's tried to overcome, you know, and just to see him where he's got to, you know, I'm just really proud of him and just blessed to have the opportunity to really play with him, you know. He's just a great guy.
What's the best part of his game that you wish you had?
Hmm.
Oh, I wish I could play defense like him, man. That guy can lock up anybody. He could lock up the best player on any opposing team.
Just defense, that's it?
Yeah, I mean.
Are you faster than him?
Nah, I try to be faster than him, but, you know, he just got such a long reach, he could beat me anywhere.
How do you think he would answer that question if we were interviewing him right now? What part of your game do you think he wish he had?
I wish he was really the bigger brother, if you know what I mean.
It's cool to have both you guys on the floor, and I know it means a lot to BC, too. You've also got an interesting mix of guys. You got older guys like Nick Popovich. You got Stephon Mitchell, who does so many different things for you. Then you got an infusion of younger guys, too, Jerry. So, I mean, you're one of a handful of guys. I mean, there's Heath, there's Felder. You guys have got to be kind of excited about the young guys that have come in the program, especially a kid like Felder, who just seems to come with such energy every time he plays.
Every time. I mean, like, we got a really good young core, you know, with Jay and CJ and Julian and Kamari coming in as this freshman year. You know, they've really came in and had a big impact on our program. You know, they just come with that mindset to compete every single day, you know, and it makes us go harder as a whole team. You know what I mean?
Jarius, as a Charlotte kid up there in Boston, what's the one place you miss the most in Boston that you wish that, hey, you know, back in Charlotte, man, we got a fill in the blank. What do you miss the most?
I got to go with Cookout. I miss Cookout. That's just one thing I do miss. Nice, good, cheap meal, man.
Yeah. By the way,
is it the milkshakes or is it the food? The
milkshakes, man. I love the milkshakes. You got so much variety. You can pick anything you want, really.
Yep. You're on that.
You're right about that.
Now, I mentioned to you during the break that you have never been to Price's Chicken Coop. And I'm just going to tell you right now, when you come back home, and you can bring your brother with you, but you're going to have to buy because I'm not going to commit an NCAA violation.
That's right, yeah.
I'm taking the Price's Chicken Coop, and we're going to eat chicken off the hood of my pickup truck because I cannot believe a guy that grew up in Charlotte, North Carolina, has never been to Price's.
Never been to it, never heard of it, but I'm going to take you up on that.
All right,
I got
done
you.
Deal. You got that. All That's right. a done deal.
By the way, we have one question we ask every student-athlete on this show. Pac, you ready?
The question is this, Jarius. The hardest class you've had at Boston College is what?
Probably financial accounting. That was a tough class.
And when did you take that, by the way?
I took that actually this past semester.
Financial accounting.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Wes, you want to jump on that?
That's involving math. That'd be a no.
That and accounting.
Yeah, and accounting. No, I don't want any of that.
I love it.
What's the easiest class?
Easiest class?
Yeah. Ooh. Or is there an easy class at Boston College?
There's not really an easy class that you can find up at Boston College.
Yeah, you're not cutting any corners at BC, my man. This is not Elon underwater basket weaving.
Nobody take
this
it out.
This
Elon.
Is a real institution
you're
we're talking about.
Taking out my
Durham.
Alma mater? All right. Hey, Jarius, stay well. Good luck against Louisville. Look forward to seeing you Saturday in Chapel Hill here on ACC Network.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys having me.
All right. Jarius Hamilton of Boston College. By the way, the Cards and Eagles, that is tomorrow night, 9 o'clock on ACC Network as well. And then so is Saturday's ball game from Chapel Hill.
A big week for them. It's a big week for everybody. As I mentioned, Louisville on the road twice,
yep.
Right? BC and NC State for yep. the league-leading Cardinals.
In fact, BC is game two of the Wednesday night double dip here on ACC Network. It follows Wake Forest and Notre Dame right here. Starts at 7, and then at 9 come the Cards and the Eagles. Louisville, as Pac has said, has won 6 of the last 7. BC won the last meeting between the two in February a year ago. 9 o'clock Eastern right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app. So, final segment coming up. News and notes to cobble together on the program. And we'll get you set for State Carolina tonight in Raleigh. Plus, the legendary voice of the Louisville Cardinals went to see women's basketball yesterday at the KFC Yum Center, Pac.
Good seat, huh?
It's a push.
Front row.
Yeah. Paul Rogers, you're on deck next on Packer and Durham.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy.
Packer and Durham.
My man.
Chester. You'll make it, big man.
Reenacting Zion Williamson on the bench 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Taking a break.
Chester's got a new look, man. He got a new cut.
Yeah. Can see his eyes again.
Yeah, amongst other things. 844-SAY-ACCN. Fun show, despite the incredibly sad weekend,
mm-hmm.
right? Between yeah. Gene Corgan passing away. I mentioned Les Jones as well.
Kobe Bryant.
And then the Kobe Bryant story, which, again, it's just hard to comprehend.
It is.
But I will tell you this. It will put things in perspective. It's unfortunate things like this have to happen to kind of just do a reset. But, you know, with your kids, you know, hug them every day. Tell them you love them.
Yep.
And you know, take advantage of the fact that every day you got is a good thing. And you just never know.
Yep.
But, man, incredibly sad weekend.
See if we can finish this on a couple fun items here to carry on your Monday. Let's start with Friday night duels.
I told you I was into it Friday night.
Well, we talked wrestling last week. Tony Roby joins us on the show. We knew Virginia Tech Carolina was going to be big.
And Roby's 2 for 2 as a guest.
And we have a group text on the show involving the Lumberjacks and
others,
so forth. And then all of a sudden, Friday night, these texts start flying. I'm trying to get ready for my game, and Pac's telling everybody
I didn't mean to bother you, broadcaster. But I'm sitting here watching this thing as I'm waiting for my 8:30 dinner reservation. It was a perfect fit. Radio show ends, 8:30 reservations, and I'm watching number 3 against number 12. Crowd's going nuts. Dude's getting pinned left and right. This was tremendous. And again, I don't know squat about wrestling.
Wasn't my man telling everybody to be quiet?
Oh, yeah. The crowd was on his case, and he's like, Hokies, it was good. And the coaches are into it. I think this has got potential on our show. That's all I'm telling you.
Okay.
That's why I text you guys. I said, boys, I don't know if you are watching this, but this can work on Packer and Durham.
Yeah. So, by the way, State Carolina or Duke Carolina is this week's Friday night duel. We're going to get all the branding right this week.
Yeah, we kept calling it Friday Night Wrestling. We know, like I told you, you and I did a lousy job promoting wrestling. And now I kind of feel like, you know what? We whiffed on that, and we really whiffed on it.
Yeah.
But we're into it.
So
I like it.
Duke Carolina is this week's Friday Night Duel. And we'll have more coverage of that leading up to Friday night's match.
All about it.
Yeah. The duel, if you will.
The duel.
Duel. All right, let's see what else I got here. Oh.
What about your birthday? Any birthday stories? Half your birthday cake still in the fridge. If you don't take it home with you today.
72-hour rule?
I just made this up. 72-hour rule. If you don't take it from Otto and all the Stellas that are out there, the cake is mine as of 10:01 a.m. It doesn't leave you.
By the way, Matt Park, the voice of the Orange, and I gathered on Saturday after the game. Watched the BC try to make some free throws at the end. Watched Louisville Clemson as well. Get an idea of what was happening in the AC.
How's Matt Park doing?
Matt Park's doing okay. Well, he's doing really good. Buddy Boeheim keeps having first halves like he's having.
It's like Josh Macri, right?
Five
straight, and all of a sudden a little attitude adjustment. All of a sudden Boeheim can coach again. Like, whatever happened there, right?
We had some shop talk, and then we sent text to other broadcasters working games.
Now, wait a minute. So I sent out a group text on Friday night, and I'm bothering you. But, yeah, it's cool for you to be having your 14th malt as you're sitting there texting other broadcasters. How's that work? That double standard work?
Good. Park was telling me what kind of student Macri was.
Oh, so they know each other.
Yeah, Josh took Matt's class.
Oh, I did not know
that. Yeah, Matt's an adjunct professor in the Newhouse School.
Oh, outstanding.
Yeah. So you're going to speak to the business schools. I spoke to Park's class.
Speaking of, I have a meeting tomorrow after our show with a professor that wants me to speak to their class.
About what?
Marketing. Business.
Branding.
Branding.
Yeah. English. Economics. Sure. Math.
I can do all that.
Yeah.
I got that.
If you're going to do math, I may slip in to see the last thing.
It might be above your pay grade.
It might be.
I'm going to go right over your head.
Yeah. So, by the way, good women's basketball on this channel over the weekend.
I said to you earlier that
State
yesterday,
Avenged their only loss.
NC State North Carolina was the showdown last night.
Right.
All 7 home teams won yesterday.
That's right.
7-0. That's what you got.
There's a look at it. Georgia Tech loses to Duke. Tough week for Nell Fortner.
Yeah, it sure was.
And the Virginia standings, beat Notre Dame by 30.
30. Yikes. Cards, by the way, are 9-0. NC State's 8-1. They kind of have separated from the rest of the pack, no pun intended, because you've got Florida State's at 6-3, Virginia Tech's at 5-3, then a cluster, a glob, if you will, at 5-4 with North Carolina, Duke, Wake Forest, and Georgia Tech. But the very top, it's a Louisville, NC State thing at the top.
Yep.
And by the way, Louisville takes on Team USA this upcoming weekend.
Yeah.
How about that? We'll get into that later as the week goes on.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting.
Team USA making a tour.
Yep.
That'll be interesting to see. Of course, we'll have Ladies Night for you on Thursday night here on ACC Network. So,
you know what I did Saturday while you were getting ready for your big game?
Is this the reflexology
thing? I went and had reflexology done on my feet.
What? I've heard of reflexology on the feet now.
Feet and hands.
Really?
And let me tell you something. It was spectacular. Absolutely spectacular. Now, you know what a lousy sleeper I am.
It is impressive how bad you are.
I mean, I am a horrific, and I've tried everything.
One of the worst in America.
Right. And so I go out to Belmont, North Carolina, me and the Ford F-150, no dogs, to a reflexologist on Saturday morning. And this wonderful lady says to me, "Now, Mr. Packer, if you fall asleep, it's going to be okay." And I'm looking at her like, "Ma'am, no disrespect.
I'm rob you blind.
I sleep. Like, I get 2 or 3 hours a night. So I doubt that I'm sitting here in the middle of nowhere, Belmont, North Carolina, across from an Arby's, thinking that I'm going to fall asleep. So, you know, you take off your socks and shoes.
In a strip mall, too.
Behind a strip mall.
Of course.
And I swear to God, I'm not lying to you. So I, you know, socks and shoes come off. I'm out, laid back. She goes, "Would you like a pillow?" I said, "A pillow would be great."
Time out. Can I get a shot of the Lumberjacks listening to this too while we're doing this? Go ahead. Yeah, I want to see their reaction.
So the lady says, "Have you ever had this done before?" I said, "Sure, many times." I said, "It really hasn't worked. This is a gift from my wife." And
boys are captivated too, just like I am.
I'm just telling you. So socks come off, shoes come off. I lay back. I've got my collar like you'd have on a Delta airline flight in first class. I'm laid back. And she says, "Mr. Packer, no, if you fall asleep, it will not be reflected. It's actually a badge of honor." I said, "Hey, ma'am," I said, "I believe me, I will not be out. You just do your thing." And so I lay back, off go the lights. We have a little soothing music, not Sinatra. And there she goes. Pressure points on the bottom of your feet. Next thing I know.
Hold on. Questions? Is there a question? Anybody got questions yet?
Is there a question?
No, it seems pretty straightforward. It's certainly not a job I'd like to have, though. I'll stay up here.
No, that's fine. I mean, it's not like Robert.
Offense.
It's not like Robert Kraft is walking through the front door.
Easy.
There are people here that might be eating breakfast, though. And
I don't
we
care.
Have to make sure
it's 9:50. If you're eating breakfast at 9:50, you need to get out of the unemployment line and get to work.
You just went emotional on Macri there. So, Macri's not.
Would you want to hear the end of the story or not?
Macri's not happy. Yeah, go ahead now.
I don't care if Macri's happy.
You burned the house down on Macri.
Macri's boys won 5 in a row. You think I'm concerned about that? By the way, tomorrow night you're coming to Little John. So I'm laid back. The doc is working the feet. Right? Next thing I know, I get a tap on the shoulder. "Psst, Mr. Packer. Eyes open up. I'm like, "Yeah, well, I have no idea where I am. I am in Jupiter." And she goes, "You okay?" And I said, "Yeah." Really,
you went to sleep.
I was out. I mean, I was out, and not only was I out, she says, "Now listen, you're going to be lightheaded for a little bit. It's great that you fell asleep."
So get in the truck and drive home.
Yeah, and I'm in Belmont. So now I'm sitting there going, "Well, I know the Arby's is open because I think I parked in their parking lot." Les, I swear to you, and I've had acupuncture. Acupuncture is the only thing that's been close to helping me go to sleep, but it wears off.
Is this going
to
end up being a nightly thing?
Dude, I swear to you, I would do it every night if she could do it. It was fantastic. Okay. But here's the problem. For the whole weekend, I was groggy. I mean, I was – my wife's still laughing. For 2 days, I slept all day Saturday. It was unbelievable how good it was. Reflexology. It's my new deal.
That and wrestling. Friday night duels.
Duels. ACC yeah. Friday duels.
All right. By the way, occasionally we're going to have tweets of the day. Just use the hashtag Packer and Durham if you want to submit one to us. Once in a while, we may find one. Yesterday, we found this. Barbara Rogers is the lovely wife and bride of the legendary voice of the Louisville Cardinals, Paul Rogers. Barbara sends this tweet. "Paul Rogers is watching Louisville women's basketball. He's never been this high up in the Yum Center. Hashtag $4 seats." Barbara, first of all, thanks for sending the picture.
Look at that seat.
Look at that. Euchre seats for Rogers. "I've come to find out that Paul and his granddaughter and a couple of her friends and Miss Barbara Went to see Jeff Wall's team yesterday play. So Paul didn't want to exercise that legendary VIP status you know he walks around with, because if he doesn't, he should.
That's great.
Right? So he went upper deck, euchre seats yesterday to watch Jeff Wall's team get another home win. Don't forget, you can send us a tweet. Occasionally we'll have tweets of the day, stars of the week, the whole bit. Last week, the star of the week was that bocce ball guy. So be on the look for that guy.
That guy was awesome.
That guy was awesome. We'll be looking for stars of the week. State Carolina tonight, we'll have reactions for that.
You got a vibe on that one?
You think we'll have reactions?
Oh, I assure you, regardless of what happens, somebody can win by 20, get beat by 2. That game could be anything tonight.
Yep. Right? Sure could.
Yeah, it'll be smoking tomorrow.
State Carolina reaction tomorrow, plus more. We'll get you ready for what will be a busy Tuesday and Wednesday of ACC basketball. Here's the good news from all my math this week. We're just halfway through, folks. How about that? We're just halfway through the season.
Did you figure that out?
Pretty close. Some people criticize my math. They'll have to be amongst themselves.
So 20 conference games, everybody's played 10?
No.
That means we're halfway.
Yeah, close. See you tomorrow at 7 a.m. Don't forget the podcast available. If you missed any of the show, including Billy remembering Gene Cargan, that's the top of the program on the other side on ACC Network. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Packer and Durham podcast. You can listen to the show live weekdays from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.